then you can bear. So I am to bear witness to that. You are to bear witness to that. That if we have it, that means what? We can handle it. Amen. Unless it was something that we created on our own. And even then, he knew what you was going to do before you did it. I'm just so grateful and just so blessed to be here with you all on this morning to partake in the word of God. How many of you feel good in your spirit? Hallelujah. I just feel good in my spirit to know that he is still on the throne, that there's war and rumor of wars. But the Bible told us that in the last days that men will be a lovers of themselves. So when people start to pick themselves, that you cannot be, don't even think about it. Just look at it for what it is. Because God said that in the last day that men will what? Be lovers of themselves. They'll be married and given in marriage, and there'll be war and rumor of wars. But for us who are faithful, for us who are of his remnant, for us who are his called people, for us who are the pure people, there is a hope of glory. We see, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you got, that people still jumping off buildings and killing themselves and shooting themselves all the time. It doesn't matter if you think you got it all together, but the Bible said this thing of called peace of mind. For the Bible said, he shall what, give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, which means that I don't understand it, y'all. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? At the end of the day, that he has it. At the end of the day, that he's put it all together. At the end of the day, that he has my back. At the end of the day, I don't care how it comes, but there's just a peace. How many of you know sometimes there's just a peace that comes over you? I can't explain it, but I'm grateful to have that peace to come over me in times of trouble, in times of, Lord, I don't know how this is going to end, Lord, but Lord Jesus, if this is how it ends, oh God, I trust you. Lord, if this is how it goes, Lord, I trust you, Lord Jesus, and know that you are Jehovah Jireh, Lord, and know that what you are able to raise up again. You are able to raise up again. Lord, for you put it up one and you take it down. For the Bible says in Isaiah that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. And I am grateful, grateful, grateful to you all. Just so grateful for the continued work there in the women's ministry. Amen. Just so grateful you all are doing an amazing job there. You know, I heard they in there touching on my sermon. I told Sister Pam, now you can't be in there preaching past the sermon before he get through it now. Amen, amen. You know, I mess with Sister Pam. We love her so much. And women of the Safe House there in the Women at the Well. The Women at the Well is our women's ministry, and they meet on Monday nights virtually. They meet on Monday nights virtually. If you are a lady and you would desire to join, amen, you don't have to be a member of this church. The Word of God is free. Amen. Just sometimes it's service or not. But the Word of God is absolutely free. So we encourage you, please, you know, come in, join up, and go in there. It's a private space for women only. Amen. They have their own private link. You can go to our church website and click on the Women at the Well, and there you can log in and register, and then they will send you a link. And then on Monday nights at 7 p.m., there they are just sharing and partaking with the Bible says, let the older women teach the younger women, amen. And sometimes, you know, we have women who don't know how to be women, you know. Just because you are born a woman don't mean you know how to be a woman. Oh, come on, somebody. Just like you being born a man doesn't mean you know how to be a man. But the Bible talks about teaching, amen. And sometimes, you know, we have individuals, you know, children raising children. Come on, somebody. We have children raising children. So there is some guidance. There are people crying out for guidance. There are people crying out for help. And we of the household of faith, we are to be that help, amen. For I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. All right, so I'm not going to hold you back. No, this morning we're going to go on and go forth. And where I believe God has given us to finish in part two of what they love, amen. You know, I have some travels. You all pray for me. As soon as we get out of here this morning, I have a flight to catch. And so we're going up to the big city. Y'all know I'm always on one of these planes, amen. God open up doors, and he take you places, amen. And I'm grateful. And he'll take you places if you'll trust him. God will open up doors, and he'll take you places. He'll take you to things that you never thought, never imagined that you would be, amen. And I'm just so grateful for the doors that he opens up for us personally, amen. And we're just grateful, 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 for God is good and he's worthy, worthy to be praised. Would you turn with me to, finish up where we on last week. I told you this was at least a two-part series and that I was not going to rush it. You know, we talked about on last week what they love can't produce. What they love can't produce, but what they are given is what to be fruitful. What they love, what they can't produce, but what they are given is to be fruitful. I'm going to throw that here on the screen. Amen. Yeah, man, I think that looks a little better right there, I guess. What they love can't produce. What they love can't produce. How many of you know that sometimes people are in love with things that can't produce anything? You know, I know people who are in love with cars and You know, until here recently, cars wouldn't really produce much. Amen. That, you know, the value of a car when you bought it immediately went down. You didn't get anything out of that. It was or we call it a depreciating asset. They love what can't produce, but what they are given is fruitful. And what God has given you and I is fruitful. He's given us the fruit of our lips. He's given us his spirit. And that in itself is fruitful. So for those who come with us today, and if you know, hadn't been here to the Safe House Church, I want to introduce you to the Safe House Church real quickly. We're the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina. God has given me the opportunity to be the pastor of such a wonderful congregation. And we work on three principles, really. We work off DEA, discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, that we're going to teach the word. We're going to hold you. You're going to hold your hand. We're going to walk with you. Then we're going to put you in position of power. We believe that God has given each and every one of us extraordinary gifts. And if he's given you that extraordinary gift, it is part of your job to exercise that which he's given you, because he's given it to you because it needs to happen in the world. And it's extraordinarily going to be exercised and manifested through you. Why? Because he's put it in you to do it. Oh, come on, somebody. Then look, we're going to hold you accountable. Why? We just can't do any and everything we want to do. There's this piece that we call accountability. Accountability is important. Accountability didn't say it's perfection, but it says that if I get it wrong, let me go back and fix it. Oh, come on, somebody. That if I mess it up, let me go back and get it right. So that what we are accountable in this space. I can't just do any and everything I want to do. I can't just sit and say anything I want to say, but I am accountable to God and God's people. Amen. And I'm just grateful for that. All right, so if you would be so kind to turn with me, Genesis, we're going to go to Genesis, the 30th chapter, and we'll start at verse 1 today. Genesis, the 30th chapter, verse 1. All right, we'll put it in Genesis chapter. So we've been going through this. So if you were with us on last week, let's recap real quickly. On last week, we've been talking about the story of Rachel and Leah. Leah and Rachel, and Jacob. So remember, Jacob wants to marry Rachel, and his father-in-law Laban tells him that you have to work 7 years to be able to have my daughter's hand in marriage. So now Jacob, he willingly works 7 years to have Leah, but he gets tricked by his father-in-law. We know that Jacob himself has a history of trickery, in that he tricked his brother into selling his birthright for a bowl of soup. Mm-hmm. So then we go on and we find that now that he gets to the point and he's ready to marry Rachel, and they get him drunk. You know, remember, when you get drunk and incapacitated, then you don't make good judgment. This is why we live in holiness, you know, because the Bible tells us to live holy. But also that way you can make good decisions. Do you not know you can almost throw your life away in those situations? And so what happens is now he's drunk. He goes in, he goes to sleep with his wife, and finds out that his wife is actually his wife. The woman that he wants, sister, named Leah. And the father-in-law informs him that, look, you have to, the younger of the two has to be married first. I've heard some information this week that, you know, that even it might be believed that they might have even maybe been twins. Amen. But nonetheless, that the older is supposed to have been married before the younger. Amen. And that was because of their custom and their tradition. So now he tricks him and makes her marry him. And now he's given another 7 years. And in that another 7 years, during that 7 year period, he is now get the hand of Rachel, the one whom he wanted to marry, the one whom he loved, the one whom he desired. And on last week, we was talking about how he took Leah out of obligation. The Bible talks about Leah was tender eyed, meaning that she was not the most pleasant thing to look at. She wasn't very pleasing to the eye. You know, in other words, she was ugly. I mean, there's no other way for me to put that. Amen. But we also know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And we talked about that on last week, that as one man's junk is another man's treasure. And we talked about that on Wednesday night, you know, how, you know, the things that you think are no good that somebody else can use, those things that you think are scraps. I think about it as in terms of people of color. You know, many times, especially in the Americas, when we grew up on those farms and we grew up in those places, in those situations, that we were able to go in and do they was able to take, you know, the masters and slave owners took the choice parts of meat and they threw us what was left over, and we call it soul food. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, you're talking about y'all, they eat, you know, I'm not picking with you, but you know, your pig feet and your hog jowl and your chitlins and all this stuff. These were things that you normally throw away. You know, I you all know I like to hunt deer, and this is stuff that I don't keep. You know what I'm saying? I'm only keeping the muscle cuts. Everything else is going to be thrown away and given to the coyotes or the other raccoons and other animals in the forest that would partake of them. But we, as a culture, we were able to take those things and we were able to make cuisine. Come on, somebody. And we call it soul food. So those things that were thrown away for somebody else was valuable. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today, the things that you take for granted, the things that you don't look at and things you don't seize and the things that you don't realize is what? That somebody else wants them. This is why we have to be careful. That it's always, to be honest, it's always somebody gunning for you. That's just how it goes. And I understand there's always, especially as believers, there's always a target on our back because what? The enemy doesn't want to see us succeed. The enemy doesn't want to see us grow. The enemy doesn't want to see us prosper. Why? Because that makes him look even longer. It makes him look even worse than what he already does. Why? Because God said that he will protect us and he will lead us and he will guide us into all truth and understanding, that he will prosper us to grow. He said that the seed of a man shall bruise thy head. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? That you would bruise his heel, but that he should bruise your head, amen. And that what we believe is God, come through Abraham, and he's passed this on from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and now we found Israel. So now all of these things that we find that we have before us, sometimes that what these things that some others throw away, that what they can be fruitful, amen. So the Bible tells us also that what he said to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. And I believe fruitfulness is not just him about having children, amen, because the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. And in the fruits of the Spirit, he said that these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. I believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God to give the utterance through tongues, but I also believe that you live right. I also believe that you live safe. I also believe that you treat people right. I also believe that you believe holy. I don't believe that you can be a Holy Ghost filled and be out here tongue talking and treat people wrong and not get it right. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect, but there's got to be something inside of you that says, I didn't do that right. There's got to be something inside of you. So I got to go back and I got to get that right. We've all fallen short. We've all fallen short of his glory. But there's something inside of me saying, no, I got to get that straight. No, there's something inside of me saying, I got to get that correct. No, there's something inside of me saying, no, I got to go get that fixed. Oh, come on, somebody. That I got to do it right. That, some people call it the conscience. I call it just the Holy Ghost. It's because if you feel it, the Holy Ghost won't let you rest. It won't let you sit on it. It won't let you do it until what you get it right. All y'all with me this morning? So here we find ourselves now. We're in the point that now Leah is here and she doesn't feel wanted. That she's here, but what? Watch this. She's able to produce. She's fruitful, and what it is that she is fruitful with her body in the sense that what? One of the number one things that you can give a man, is, in particular in this part of time, was a male seed. And not only did she give one male seed, but if I remember correctly from the Bible, we found out that she gave four male seeds, and each one of these seeds, and she gave a son. And the Bible, and as we concluded in Genesis 29th chapter, the chapter right before this, obviously is that she had given all these sons. It got to the point that it said that she was not having any more children. She was not having any more children. Now what we find is what? Now we have Rachel. And now Rachel is barren. So watch this. The one that he wanted, the one that he wanted to marry, the one that he was in love with, is not able to produce. There's a lot of things to be learned in this. That the one that he wanted to, the one that he chose, was not able to produce. Sometimes we need to let God do the choosing. See, the thing that always looks good, there's this thing to say, everything that glitters is not necessarily gold. I know you've heard that before if you've been around a little bit. And what we find is sometimes the things that we want to go after necessarily ain't the thing that God may have want for us. It's not the thing that's going to produce. My children are part of my pride and joy. I'm grateful that I have the children that I have. But, and I'm grateful that my wife was able to produce some good. Can you imagine, he goes through all these things, he works all this time, and he loves her intensely, but the number one thing is that she couldn't produce. She couldn't produce. But watch this. So the Bible says that he saw what Leah was going through, that she was rejected, and what did God do? Because of her rejection, he made her what? He made her fruitful. He gave her gifts. He gave her talents. And she was able to have sons. And not only one son, but like I said, I think if I recall correctly, she had four. And one of these sons was what? Named Judah. And at the end of that story, we read that she named them Judah, and she gave God praise. And she came to a point that she came put content with where she was. Watch this. That's important. That Leah gets to a point that she is actually almost content where she is. Now watch this. So now as we go into 30, we're in chapter 30, and I'm going to give you a little bit of this, and we're going to read this And this is now what we're going to flip on the flip side of this. We're going to see Rachel's cry. So now we've dealt with Leah. Leah's being what? Productive. But here's the other side of it. Here's Rachel. Now remember, Rachel hadn't done anything. Rachel just happens to be the pretty one. She happens to be the one here. But what? She's not fruitful right now. She's not fruitful in this part and in this time of season. See, I want you to understand something and learn something, brother and sister. Just because you're not fruitful right now doesn't mean you're not going to be fruitful. What it doesn't mean is that you're never going to produce. See, you got to understand and know that where there's a time and a season for everything. And maybe this is just not your season for that growth. But it doesn't mean that you give up. It doesn't mean that you don't keep growing your roots deep. It doesn't mean that you hold on. It doesn't mean that you get weary and well doing. But what he's telling us what is to continue on. Watch this. So verse 30, verse 1, I'm going to switch over to you all so that you all can read along with me. Amen. Always shouts out to the Blue Letter Bible. Y'all know I absolutely love the Blue Letter Bible. It's a good piece here. Amen. And it says this. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Remember at this time that it was often thought that what? It's the man that, you know, that the women had a lot to do with the child happening. And then at some point she says, she's telling her husband that, look, if you don't give me children, I'm going to die. And she's, you know, she's upset about it. And the Bible says this, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel and said, Am I in God's stead who have withheld from thee the fruit of their womb? So here it is, that fruit again. We're talking about the womb is being fruitful. Some of us spiritually, that you know, we're not in a perfect situation, but God has made you fruitful. I know some of you say, well, no, I want to wait till we get in this, and I want to wait till I get that, and I want to wait till I get this. No, no, no. How are you going to get those things that you desire? You're going to get them because you're going to be fruitful in this season. Oh, come on, somebody. You're going to use the womb that you got now. You know, some say, oh, I'm going to start paying tithes, and I'm going to start paying offering once I get this job. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to get it. Because the Bible said, well, if you be faithful over the few things, then I'll make you rule over many. So it starts with the faithfulness of the few things. I'm here to tell you today, God has blessed me with a couple of things, but it won't always like this. There was times that I was living from credit card to credit card. There were times that I was living from paycheck to paycheck. But over the years, God has shown himself faithful. So I'm here to tell somebody today who's struggling, somebody today that said, they don't see no end in sight. I'm here to tell you that if you will trust him, if you will stay with him, if you will follow his word, if you will trust him, if you will be obedient to him, that God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you will sow into God, if you will trust God, that what he is able to do exactly above and beyond and exceedingly glad, and I'm a living witness of it, and I know others here too. So then he goes on and says this, as she said, behold, we in verse 3, behold, my maid Belial, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I have also had children by her. So what does she do? In her attempt to be fruitful, she's given up. Watch this. She's done something that we've seen time and time again in the Bible. So this is why, don't be surprised if you find yourself in this place sometime. What she's done is she's pushed this off, and she's trying to make the way herself. We saw this what before. We saw this with Abraham and what? Abraham and Sarah. What did Sarah do? Sarah said, how can I have a child when I'm old? So what does she do? She tells Abraham to go in there and have what? Have babies with the maid. And we're going to call it my baby. Remember, you got to remember that these people who were slaves, you know, the Bible's full of slavery. Yes, it has slaves. And these people who were slaves were what? They were property of them. So if they had a slave, if the slave had a baby, then the baby belonged to them. So now, you know, so it wasn't a baby of, as we say, their own loin, but she had a baby. So now what? She's telling her husband, Jacob. So what does Jacob do? She already said that if she don't get a baby, she's going to die. So Jacob does what? He goes up there, and he does his thing, and he obliges her. And then what? She goes in there, and he has a child by her, right? And then the Bible says, and she gave her Belial and her handmaid to wife, and Jacob went into her. And Belial conceived and bare Jacob a son. So she had a son. And what did the Bible say? That she called his name what? Dan. So it said, for what? It said, and Rachel said, God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. And Belial, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. Mm-hmm. So you see here, what does she do? She takes matters into her own hands. Well, God, you've cursed me. God, you've judged me hard. It was just not her season. How many of you found yourself sometimes, and you it seemed like everybody else around you is being fruitful. It seemed like everybody else around you is prospering. And you have to die. Am I going to be fruitful? God, is my ministry going to blow? Or am I going to be promoted at some point in time? God, am I going to be able to bear children? Oh, God, am my family going to get out of debt, Lord? You ask God all these things, and we find ourselves, and we start to get upset. And what we do is we start to do things outside of our character. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one here today? We start to do things outside of our character to do what? Because what we... our human desire for a thing has been so great that we want this thing so bad that we're willing to do anything if it means stepping outside of the will of God to make it happen. Case in point, I've known individuals who want to be married so bad that they went and married the first thing they could get outside the will of God. But the Bible clearly says, don't be unequally yoked. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm being pastor today. You know, I know men who stepped that way. She was so pretty, and now he wished he would have left the way he found her. Because he wanted it so bad. But God has a timing. He has a place. And I know it's not always. This is why he tells us that, don't be weary. And this is where it comes in that we have to have this thing called faith. For the Bible said the faith of a grain of a mustard seed that we should be able to speak to the mountain. The mountain has to move. Mustard seed faith. It don't take a lot, but that little bit goes a long way. But it's hard. Pastor, what you're saying is hard. I know, I get it. It's hard because it's hard for me too. It's hard to sit down and you see it seem like everything else around you is being prosperous but you. But sometimes we don't realize what God has given us. And here what we find Rachel. Now, Rachel's what? Having babies by the maid. Watch this. And she goes and have another one. And what she called his name, Gad. So all these are babies that she's having. I mean, that was not her. That baby that they were having, watch this. But she was not having them herself. Now, let's go back to Leah for a moment. What did we find Leah do? So remember, I told you Leah's done. God's blessed Leah's womb. Leah's already had like 4 sons, the last one being Judah. I find that to be interesting. The last one was praised. And she was what? She was content. Watch this. And then all of a sudden, she started watching her sister have kids. Brothers and sisters, we got to get our eyes off everybody else. I know but this thing is for me, especially when we in this being in this pandemic and virtual space. One of these things that's very interesting about me preaching in this is that nobody's in this room but me. I got a camera, I got a TV, and I got a couple of computers here. I got a microphone, I got some lights and, green screen and all the little fancy stuff. But you know what? It's like I'm looking in the mirror and I get to preach to myself. So if you all get to hear what I get to preach to me and it blesses you, that's all right. Because sometimes the Bible says I got to encourage myself. Yeah, to run the Lord. And see what we find here that, sometimes we cannot put our eyes on everybody else. Because we see this one prospering and we see this one doing this. And it seems like, Lord, they ain't paid their dues. Lord, why are they here? And Lord, this one ain't gone through that. Lord, why are they there? And he has to remind us that, he has a plan laid out for us too if we're willing to walk it. If we're willing to trust him, if we're willing to stay still and know that he is God, that what he has, far and above and beyond and see, like some of these things that God has set up for us will blow our minds if we really, really knew and understood what God wanted us to do. If we really knew and understood what God has set up for us. If we really knew and understood how he has things already set for us. But yet we're almost willing to, like Jacob, like Esau, we're willing to trade in what God has given us for this bowl of soup we see right now. And I know some say, hey, Pastor, I don't know. What if it doesn't happen? Well, what if? But what if it does? You go and you gamble in Vegas. You take that chance to say, you know what? Let me roll this dice one more time and see if I'm going to get it. What I'm asking you today, will you be willing to roll the dice to trust him to know that he's got it? And to know what? If he don't do it, they won't because he won't. That's where we are. That's what my struggle and my faith is. It's like, Lord, I see, I hear, but I don't have it in front of me. Remember the Bible says that it was better he that believed that never seen the Father than he that's right here that sees me. So he knows what we're doing is tough, y'all. And this is why he rewarded them who faithfully seek him. He knows it's hard. It's always been hard. Don't let nobody tell you that this was easy. Yes, he said, take that yoke and learn of me, for that yoke is easy and that burden is light. Yes, it's easy if you trust him. But sometimes we are in between trust. Lord, I trust you for this, but I don't trust you for that. Lord, I trust you for that, but I don't trust you for that. We in between our trust. See, when I get on that plane this afternoon, you know, I don't mind flying, but one of the things that always get me about flying is that I don't have any control. Once that plane get up in the air, ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm really, literally on the wings of Jesus. And I pray they come down safely and they touch down safely. They do everything it's supposed to do. But what? I can't control that. And oftentimes, situations and circumstances that you all, we find ourselves in are things that we cannot control. And because we can't control, what we do is we take control. And what does Leah do? Leah goes and gets her maid. Now the sisters are in competition. She already got the husband. She already had four kids on her own. God has blessed her womb, and it was not enough. Why? Because she was watching Rachel, thinking what Rachel got is great. So she does what? She goes and gets her maid, Zilpah, Z-I-L-P-H-A, her maid. And watch this. And beg Jacob to go with her. And what does Jacob do? Of course, Jacob, at this point, he getting laid every other night. It looked like to me, y'all. So what does he do? He goes in and he has another son by her. And that son's name is what? Gad. Mm-hmm. So now Leah has another son named Gad that what? She did not physically have. I'm telling y'all, y'all talking about some drama. The Bible's full of drama. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to watch All My Children, The Young and the Restless, The Tyler Perry's, whatever that mess is. Well, all that stuff. You don't have to watch it because you got it right in the Bible. So then what? So Leah, what, goes in, and then the Bible go down and says, verse 12, and it says, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bears Jacob a son. So you have a son. And name him what? Asher. So you see how this thing is going back and forth. So now they're going back and forth. Now watch this. But Rachel still has a longing to what? I want to produce for my own body. See, it's one thing to have a son. It's one thing to have all these things. But what? You still have that longing there. I want to be able to produce this. I want to be able to give my husband a son. So watch what happens. Let me read this. And I want to read this. And this is very important. Okay. Verse number 14, it says, and Reuben, who is Reuben? Reuben is Leah's son. It says, Reuben, Leah and Jacob's son. It says, and Reuben went in the days of the wheat of the harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray, of thy son's mandrakes. Mandrakes, let me tell you what these mandrakes are. Mandrakes, what are my mandrakes? Mandrakes were some flowers, basically like almost like a wild flower. And they grew sometimes in fields. Just like you think about, you know, when you have things that are planted, you know, I grew up in the country and I've seen fields and all kinds of stuff. And you have these things, sometimes they call cover crops, they're crops that grow with your crop and they protect your crop and they strengthen your crop. But here, what we find that there's a mandrake here, and this mandrake is basically like a wild flower. And watch this. It was believed that the mandrakes would give fertility. So now we bring in what? Witchcraft. See what we'll be willing to do for what we want. Ask yourself, how many times have I gotten myself into some sticky, icky, yicky, yicky situations because of what I want? So here, Rachel's to the point that what? There's some mandrakes found. Word is out that the mandrakes, and what does the Reuben do? Reuben gives the mandrakes to his mom. And now she has the mandrakes. Rachel wants the mandrakes bad. Now watch this part. And she said, we in verse 15, let me give you back, I'm going to go, because I want y'all to watch this and read this. I hope that you all go back and read this stuff. This stuff is really interesting to me. It says, and she said unto her, it is a small matter that has taken, that thou hast taken my husband. And would thou take away my son's mandrakes? So she's telling Leah's telling Rachel, look, you already took my husband, and now you want my son's mandrakes? Get out of here with that. But watch this. And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Why was Leah not having more babies? Jacob won't sleep with her. She gets to the point that she's so desperate for Jacob's love. To love her, even though she's been fruitful, she has this seed of God coming through her. She's been multiplying. She didn't have the maids, but she's still looking at Rachel And what she desires most is that man. So watch this. Rachel cuts a deal with her. You can have him. You can sleep with him if you give him those mandrakes. So basically, they prostitute Jacob. I don't know any other way to put it. Jacob is a prostitute at this point because she gives him the mandrakes. It's a trade. It's a sale. It's just like you're giving somebody money. Look, I'm going to give you money, and I'm going to give you this money, and my husband can sleep with you for the night. I don't know. That ain't prostitution. I don't know what it is. So Jacob here is being a gigolo. So now he's being sold for some mandrakes because Rachel wants a baby so bad that she's willing to what? Give away her husband to her sister. Y'all see how twisted and crazy this is? She's willing to give away her husband to her sister so that she can have a baby. Because they believe that these mandrakes bring some kind of power that's going to make her fertile. So then the Bible goes on and says this. I know this is just family mess. And it goes on and says, and Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come unto me, for surely I have hired thee. Are y'all finding this as entertaining as I am? This is in the Bible. I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. Yep, I bought you for some flowers. And watch this. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son, Issachar. So now you see why Leah won't have any more babies. Jacob was not sleeping with her anymore. How is all this stuff connected for you? Is this stuff as exciting to you all as it is to me? Because this is just a mess. But we talking about how we love that which can't produce. So here she is. She didn't got pregnant by him. One time, I just find it interesting how they get pregnant on the first time. I just like, whew. It just, but you know what? Watch this. What did she do, though? Even in doing this, God still blesses her womb to do what? She has more boys. And what did I tell you all? What's the thing? You want to have boys. So now she got a fifth son that came from her womb. And then remember, she got the other baby, Gad. Look at all these kids. Now, this is interesting. Remember, all of this comes together what? As the tribe of Israel. Because each one of these sons, they're going to be what? 12 is what? Representative of a tribe. Remember what God promised Abraham? That your seeds will be what? As numerous as the sands are on the seashore. This is how that happens. Keep going. So the Bible says in 18, it says, and Leah said, God hath given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endured me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have bore him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. All Leah wants is to be loved. She continuously gives her body to Jacob over and over again. All she continues to do is produce and produce and produce. And all she does is have one. What we call it is, I'm going to be straight women's champions. She keep having boys. Now watch this. Then in verse 21, it says, and after she bare a daughter, and they call her name Diana. And God, watch this. So now Diana what? Diana will be what? The end of this. So out of all of these boys, here come the one girl. And watch this. And afterwards, she bare a daughter and called her name Diana. Verse 22, and it says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her. And he what? He opened her womb. Now it's Rachel's season. And she conceived, and bear, watch this, a son. And God said, and said, God have taken away my reproach. And she called his name what? Joseph. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And then she goes on and she has another son that we'll find out that she has a son named, Benjamin. But I will stop on Joseph because we know Joseph. Now, you think about all the things I know, many of us know the story of Joseph, and we think about all the things that Joseph's gone through and Joseph's come through. Even Joseph, to get to the point of being here, he went through some stuff. And we know how blessed that Joseph's life was. Now, watch this. I find it interesting that even though these women got into a little bit of everything to the point they were prostituting the husband between them two, they found them surrogates. They were finding people to make their dreams and stuff come to pass. That Jacob was out here. He was just getting it on. Jacob was all over the place. But God kept blessing what? He kept blessing Leah's womb to have produced sons. And then at some point, he blesses what? Rachel to have a son. And not only does Rachel just have a son, but it's Joseph. And we know Joseph what? To be the one that what? His father loveth. Why did the father, the Bible said that, the father had this intense relationship and love with him. Why? Because he was the one that didn't think what it is. And he was of the one what? Whom he loved. And what? And I find it interesting that what? All this fruitfulness that Leah brought, she would be willing to give it away just to be what? To be with him. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you today. I want to speak to you for a moment. Are you willing to give it all away for that one sucker? Now, I'm talking about sucker, I'm talking about candy. We ain't talking about nobody. You know, I remember there were times, you know, that people didn't realize what they really, you know, there are times in life that sometimes we don't realize what we have. We don't realize what God has blessed us with. We don't realize what God has put before us because we don't see the value. And what we find here, and the reason I wanted to bring this up and we preached this in two parts and giving you this time to think about it is God has done some extraordinary things with some of you. God has produced in some of your lives. Some of you just been producing, I'm from producing. But since you don't have what it is that you desire, you don't have what it is that you in love with, you think you're not valuable to me. You think you're not valuable. But remember now, Leah's produced all these sons, which is all of these heirs, which becomes the tribes of Israel. She also produced what? The line of Judah. The line of Judah is the line that Jesus Christ comes through. Then after that, what does she do? She go in there and she goes, hires her husband. She hires him with some mandrakes. So I guess now he wants, you know, they used to say he wants that old thing back. And now he got this old thing back. Now she what? Oh, you're forgetting how, I guess how good that was. And now he's back over there and he's having babies with her again. So now she has a couple of more. And then they have a daughter. And now that thing is cut off. And what happened now? God, what? It's Rachel's season to produce. Now, I remind you, in all the middle of this, what did they do? They caused some drama for themselves. How many of us cause drama for ourselves? I know sometimes I do. Sometimes I just open my mouth maybe entirely too much or something. And that means that it's not true. Right? But sometimes the timing of things. And why do we do it? Our lack of faith. I think about the times I've gotten myself in trouble and I opened up my mouth about things that maybe I shouldn't have said, or maybe, you know, the timing wasn't right. It's because I was trying to wield those things. I'm here to tell you today, Safe House Church, we're going to get our building when God is ready for us to get our building. You know, if you want to be, I ask that you be faithful and that we hold on, and we're going to get there. And when we see it, we're going to see it. Trust me, I want to make it happen. But I don't want to be out there producing sons. Come on, somebody. Sons that were not meant to be of that womb. Because if you notice in between, remember what I told you, what did Rachel do? Rachel went and had babies by her maid. Yeah, they got here. They still their children, but it's not the ones of her womb. Then Leah get to the point, she didn't have, you know, she stopped having children and she started doing what? She started going out there and she started making things happen for herself, but they were not of her womb. And if you notice the ones that we know the most, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Joseph, what children from their womb. And that's not to take away nothing from Gad and Issachar and all the, you know, other ones. But watch what God blessed. He has a way. And all he's asking us to do, we'll be trusting. I know it's hard. Because we live in a world that tells us the exact opposite of it every single day. You don't have enough. You don't have this. You can't do this. And you
you're not done this, and you're not done that, and this one's over this one, this is politics, and this one doesn't have this one, and this. And we can sit down and we can make a laundry list of things of why we are in the plight that we're in. We all can. We all can sit there and, as I call it, have the Eeyore spirit. The Eeyore is like, why is me? Oh, Baba, I'm never going to do it. Yes, we all have them days. But I want to remind you today that they are often in love with that that does not produce. So when you get overlooked, when they go somewhere else, when they just know that God has a way. And when God gets done, you're producing the tribe of Judah. When your season comes, you're producing Joseph. That God is not bought, that he has a plan, and he has you, and he's not forgotten you, and he's not forgotten the Safe House Church. But the Bible said what? That he what? Remembered Rachel, and he opened her womb, and she what? Had a baby. And we know Joseph to be what? An extraordinary man of integrity, extraordinary man of talent. And watch this. He ruled over what? All the other sons. Didn't he? The Bible said that he would what? He would get ruled to them. And he did. And he saved their life. And he brought them into Egypt. And if it was not for Joseph, their whole tribe would have been out. So just know, I know this story goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I encourage you, read it, read it, read it. It is a great story. So something great and extraordinary to understand. But most importantly, what I want to encourage you today is that God has not forgotten you. Your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations, if it's in his will, it'll come to pass. You're not going to leave here before your time. Nope, he's got you, but you got to stay in his will. We got to keep going. We got to keep doing the hard things. We got to keep moving. We got to keep striving. We got to keep pushing. And that's the piece that some of us struggle with. It's like, Lord, I don't see anybody else who looks like me doing this. Lord, I don't see anybody else who's going through this. Lord, it seems like it's only me. And I know it does only seem like you, but I'm here to tell you today that what there, as the Bible told, he told him, he told Elijah, boy, I got 3,000 prophets who hadn't sent a foot. Kneel, I need a bell. It ain't just you. And I'm here to remind you today, it ain't just you. There are other churches like us. It ain't just us. It just ain't you and your household that's, you know, that's going through some things. It ain't just you. But God has his hand around us. And he's not forgotten. He's not forgotten. He's not forgotten. So I ask that this be a lesson and that this be a thing to you, that you go back and you listen to part one and part two of these things to find out that what? Even in all this mess, that God still blessed them, he kept them, and he's going to keep you. And I know some of you said, well, I didn't mess up too much. Nope, they were prostituting their own husband. But yeah, he still cared for them. And if you get it together, and you come ask for forgiveness, and you come to him, he is just what to forgive you too. God bless you all. I love you all. I've had a tremendous time this morning. I hope that you had a tremendous time. Understanding this word and taking this word today and be encouraged that God has not forgotten us, that they often are in love with that which does not produce. So they're in love with it. Watch, stand back, let it get the test of time. And if it's worth its weight in salt and gold, we'll know. And if not, we'll also know too. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, how you watched and you kept us up to this present point in time. We allow no hurt, harm, or danger to come to us in any form or fashion. Lord, I ask that your word this morning, Lord, today to go forth, Lord, today to be penetrating, oh God, Lord, Jesus, that it touch our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirit, Lord, to cause us to think a little differently about some things, cause us to open up our Bible, Lord, to see you for who you are, Lord. And we're just grateful, grateful, grateful unto you, Lord, for you're so good, you're so kind, your love, your peace, Lord, you're omnipotent, you're all seeing, you're all knowing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and we love you and we praise your name, Lord. And we ask you to do all these things that others in the powerful name of Jesus, Lord. I ask that you give us traveling mercy, Lord, as we go over the dangerous highways and the airways, so God brings us back safe, Lord. Keep us in the city, Lord. Jesus, bless you the things we need to do and bring us back safely, Lord. Watch them and keep us holy, Lord. Jesus, like only you can, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you and we praise your name, Lord. And we give all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Strengthen us and keep us and love on us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you all. I love you all. At this time, we ask that, you know, if it's on your heart, here at the Safe House Church, we work off the gifts and the offerings of those of this ministry. If God has blessed your heart, and today, if it's tithe day for you, we ask that you give. You can give by what? The Cash App. That's $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Again, that's the $SafeHouseChurchGSO or paypal.me/ministry8. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry8. Or you can get us at snail mail. Fine and Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's Fine and Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. We're grateful for each and every dollar that we give. The Bible says it like this in Luke 6:38. To give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Have a tremendous rest of the week. Remember on tomorrow that we have the women at the well, the women at the well. They'll be there for you at 7 p.m. If you're down there, this is for women only, that you can go out and you can register for the space and be there with the women at the well. Amen. I know it will be a blessing to you there. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care in the Lord's will. We'll be in prayer on tomorrow morning. Remember, we have our prayer Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to about 6:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. That means we start at 6 o'clock a.m. on the East Coast. And we'll go to about, we usually stop around 6:30-ish at that time period. So we look forward to you there in prayer. Remember, on Wednesday night, we will have our Bible study. God bless you all. I love you all. Take care. Have a good one. Until the next time. Notice one thing we notice to be true, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Take care. Love you. Bye. Hey, you can. What time are you leaving now? Huh? What time are you leaving now? I'm thinking stupid. I think my thing's a board at. Cause I'm ready. I mean, I just gotta do is change my shirt. So I board at 11:43. So I'll probably leave here at the latest at 11 o'clock. So about 30 minutes. And I'm just trying to make sure I got, because I can't write on this without this. So I'm trying to make sure I got it in Microsoft Word and download it right now. Because this is what I want to work on when I'm on this flight. What's up?
I just had a question about resetting my computer. Is it possible that I could use that other older screen that we had in the Dell to have three screens?
What screen?
In the top of closet.
Yeah, if you got the splitter.
So I have a splitter for my. I have an adapter. I think okay. I have an adapter for. I had to get an adapter. I have two different adapters that I had to get back in. So I have an adapter. I had an adapter here before. So would I need an additional adapter, or is there a way that I can use?
No, it depends. I mean, that's one of the things I have to look at. I can really say. Give me a second. Let me get this. Why are you up so morning early this morning to home? You probably even got there. You were gone.
I went to get breakfast, and I went to get milk and stuff for the kids.
That girl's home. I think you would be tired too.
I get up every morning. I wake up at 4 o'clock. I'll be up. So, I'll try to make use of my time.
Yeah, we made it.
We've also seen what the temps are going to be. Oh, man, I forgot this. I'm talking.
Oh, man.